Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And that's why Shaul Paul said to them, verse 6, "Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction." In much affliction. Now that word here, when you think of that word affliction in verse 6, it speaks of the persecution. It speaks of the persecution that they have experienced when they became believers in our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. They have immediately experienced affliction and persecution. Brothers and sisters, this is exactly what happened when we turned to the Lord. This world rejected the Mashiach, the Messiah. And therefore, when we seek to follow Him, they will not like to hear what we have to say, and ultimately they will persecute the believers. They persecuted in the past. The Messiah was hanging on a tree. Later on, the early disciples, the Hebrew believers, they have been persecuted in Jerusalem and Judea and later on everywhere. Then when the Gentiles became believers, they have been persecuted as well by their own people, and many others have been persecuted throughout the generation, even today. People who believe in Yeshua the Messiah are persecuted by those who do not want to accept the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. So verse 6 is an amazing verse to show us that they have received the Lord, received the message of the gospel, but they have experienced much affliction. But you notice immediately after that, he says, "But yet with joy of the Holy Spirit." In spite of the persecution, they had joy in their hearts. And it was joy that was given to them by the Holy Spirit of God. The Hebrew word here is chedvat ruach hakodesh. It's a beautiful word, joy. It was Ezra who said in the book of Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." Joy is much more than happiness. Happiness depends on what is happening. If things happen good, we are happy. If things happen bad, we are not so happy, right? But joy is far deeper. It's not subject to what's happening. In the midst of affliction, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of trials, they still have the joy that is found in the person of Yeshua, the Messiah. You know, we read in Hebrews chapter 12, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Yeshua teaching us that kind of a joy. Unfortunately, to our shame, we are not always having that joy in our own hearts because we are not always in the right spiritual state. But they were. That's why I said that this chapter is a desirable condition that existed in this local assembly. Yes, there were tribulation, yet there were joy. They were characterized by works of faith, labor of love, and the patience of hope. They were practicing that which God had intended for them in that local assembly in Thessalonica. Young group of believers. Their theology perhaps was very limited. They didn't know a lot, but whatever they knew, they sought to live up to it. So, verse 5 and 6, the Thessalonians received the gospel and they did it with joy in spite of the fact that they were persecuted by others around them. Both the Jewish believers have suffered from their own brethren, and the Gentile believers suffered from their own people, and vice versa. The persecution continue on of those believers from people around them who didn't want to accept the message of the gospel. Now quickly, let's move along, because in verse 7, we read that the Thessalonian brethren became an example to all the people around. You know, an example is something that we all need to be in our lives. You know, the word example in the Greek here is typos. And in Hebrew, it is simply mean mofet, dugma. A typo is like the word type. You know, we know the word type. This is a type of that, and this is a picture of that, and this is a type of that. Well, they were type. They were an example. When you looked at the Thessalonians, if you would have been there with them, you would see them becoming an example to all those around them in the way that they behave. And so we read, so that ye were an example to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. You became an example. How important it is to be an example. You know, we look up to someone who is a good example. If we have, let's say, in our life in general, if we have someone is a good example as a husband, respecting his wife, treating her with respect, a good example. Or wife, on the other hand, who is becoming a good example to us all by the manner in which she conducts herself. Submissiveness, obedience to the Lord. As the Bible says, the inner man of the heart, as the scripture teaches. And then we can go on. What about as brothers and sisters to be an example by our behavior and our conduct? That is so needful. And the Thessalonian apparently became an example, dogma, a type, a typos. It's like a print, like a figure. It's like a pattern for others to follow. When we see someone who gives us an example, it is encouraging us to move forward. Sometimes, beloved brothers and sisters, we can be good example. And sometimes, unfortunately, to our own loss, to our own shame, we are not always a good example. And when we are not a good example, we end up not honoring the Lord, not being blessing to others. Apparently, this Thessalonian, he says in verse 7, you became an example to all that believe in Macedonia, the Roman province there. In Macedonia and in Achaia, when everyone heard of the Thessalonian, they said, wow, what an example this local assembly is. The works of faith, the labor of love, the patience of hope, they were really practicing the things of the Lord in their life. They were real example, local assembly, local congregation. And how, beloved brothers, it is important. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look what Paul said to a younger brother by the name of Timothy. Younger than him, he was not a child, obviously, but he was younger than him. He said to him in verse 12, he said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Timothy, don't let anyone despise you because you believe in Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Timothy, you be an example. Be an example in the word of God, in your manner of life, in loving the people and practicing love in your life, in spirit, have a right attitude, in faith and faithfulness to the Lord, and in purity. Timothy, you be an example. The Thessalonians were an example of all the provinces there in Achaia. Go to Titus chapter 2 and verse 7. Paul now saying to another one younger than him, and he said to him in verse 7, he says, and I read verse 6, young men likewise exhort. In other words, Titus, you exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern, an example of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech, and so on, and so on. Titus, you better teach the young men, and you yourself show yourself as a pattern, as an example. Well, the assembly at Thessalonica was an example They were an example to all, as it says here in verse 7, to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. What a wonderful condition they had in their practical day-by-day living as a local assembly. And we need it, brothers and sisters, don't we? We need an example. We need to have others that have gone before us to show us an example. It helps us to move along. It helps us to grow spiritually. All of us need it. That's why I remember years ago one brother said, he says, you need to have friends that are more spiritual than you so you can reach out to them and grow spiritually. But don't only stay there and hang to them. On the other hand, you reach down to others who are less spiritual than you perhaps, and you can lift them up. So you can be used, you're going to get help from the ones who are more mature, they have knowledge more, they walk with the Lord. But on the other hand, don't just stay there and just take and take and not share it out and bring it down to others and lift them up. So you be an example to them as others have been an example to you. And boy, how much we need it. When we look in biblical history, people like Moshe was an example to Yehoshua. People like Shaul Paul was an example to Timothy and Silas. And you can look throughout history, Israel, our own nation history, and the body of Messiah's history. There are many who gave us an example in our life. It helps us to grow spiritually. So the people, the believers in Macedonia and Achaia benefited from the fact that the brothers and sisters of the Thessalonica assembly were an example to them. And now notice, I'm moving along in verse 8. The Thessalonian brethren shared, they sounded out the word as a trumpet. They didn't keep it for themselves. You notice what we read there in verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. So that we need not to speak of anything. In other words, Paul saying to them as he's writing to them, you know, the Thessalonians were receivers and transmitters. They were not only receiving and receiving and do not transmit. Because we find out in verse 6 that they received the word. And then in verse 8 we find out that they sounded out the word. It's like, you know, a healthy local assembly does those two things. They receive the word. They learn and grow from the word of God. But they don't sit there and say, boy, I'm pretty good. I know the word. I'm saved. They also go out and transmit these truths to others. This is a healthy local congregation, local assembly, local church. On the one hand, we need to receive the truth, to learn from the word of God, rightly dividing the word of truth, and to grow and to become firm in the truth of the word of God. But then we have to have new believers who come in. We have to share the gospel so others will come in. This is a healthy local assembly. Now, by the way, if you have an assembly, a local congregation, that you only have all believers that are mature believers sitting there every Sunday or every Saturday or whenever they sit together and they all kind of debate all the truth that they have learned and they don't share it with others and there's no new baby born that come in, unsaved people, and then they get saved, little children, something is lacking here. Something is missing. In a normal family, you have husband and wife and children. And then we grow, the children grow, and then they have ultimately children and so on. This is the natural spiritual growth of a spiritual family. And the moment it's not so, something is missing. And that's why any time when we see someone not only learning the truth and growing in the word, but also sharing the message of the gospel, you realize something is right here. That is healthy to grow spiritually, to mature in the truth of the word of God, but not to neglect the unbelieving world, because a few years ago, somebody told us about Yeshua. We were lost before. We didn't know anything about the Messiah and God's Son who loved us and gave himself for us. We've heard a message. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Somebody preached a message to us. But that someone must have been learning from the truth and growing in the truth. And then he can go out and share. So we are in actuality, brothers and sisters, today we are like priests. A priest is a holy priest. He goes into the presence of the Lord. But he's turning around and he becomes a royal priest. He goes out and he shares this with others. That's the way we need to do. And the Thessalonians had a healthy spiritual condition. They received the word, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6. But from you, the word sounded out in Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. They were receivers and they transmitted this to others. And Paul says in verse 8, he said, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak of anything. We don't have to say anything. Others tell us, oh, you know what you heard about those Thessalonians? Oh, they have been sharing with us the message. Wow, someone came from Thessalonica and shared with us the word of God. And they told us about Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, and how he loved us and he gave himself. We have heard the message because they have shared the message of the gospel. What a wonderful, desirable condition they have had. And so, brothers and sisters, the last two verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Thessalonian brethren had expected the coming of the Lord. They expected that Yeshua will come. And that has a reference to his second coming. You see, remember, let me remind you. In the year 52 AD, when the Apostle Paul gave them the letter, wrote them the letter, the canon of Scripture was not yet completed. The measure of understanding was limited that they had. But one thing for sure. They understood that according to the Old Testament scripture, the Tanakh, the Messiah was going to come. Christ was going to come. He came once, he died. But he was going to come again. And when he's going to come again, he's going to rule over this world. He's going to judge this world in righteousness, rule over this world, restore the nation of Israel to himself, and establish the Messianic kingdom. Now, they were limited with their understanding, but I want you to notice again, here is the number 3, is again found here, just the same as we have read in verse 3, the works of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. Here you notice in verses 9 and 10, once again, those three, as we have read them before, three characteristics that God have left here in this universe. Time, space, matter. Time, past, present, future. Space, length, breadth, height. Matter, solid, liquid, and gas. Here, notice this in the last two verses. Again, this triune represent the triune God that created man in his own image and in his own likeness. That man is a triune person, spirit, soul, and body. And it is a matter of life that he or she are to practice is faith, love, and hope. It's a matter. This is the chomer. That's the way we ought to represent the Lord here in this world. And so we read in verse 9 and 10. Let me read those two verses together. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye, notice, number one, turn to God from idols. Number two, to serve the living and true God. Number three, verse 10a, and to wait for his Son from heaven. Again, notice these triune characteristics that existed in those Thessalonian believers. They turn to God from idols. It's interesting. He doesn't say they turn from idols to God. No. But they turn first of all to God. And then idols have been shed and have been thrown out of the way. It is amazing when you really think this is the works of faith. They turned to God from idols. That's the works of faith. They believed God's word. The works of faith. Then secondly, in verse 9, to serve the living and true God. This is the labor of love. They wanted to serve the living and the true God. Notice that it used the word the living God. You see, idols are dead. Whether they are small little figurine, or whether they are big, big trees, they're dead. We read earlier in Psalm 115, eyes they have, but they don't see. Hands they have, but they cannot move. Feet they have, they cannot walk. Ears they have, they cannot hear. Mouths they have, they cannot speak. They are dead. But the living God of Israel, the God of our fathers, the God of our Lord, Yeshua HaMashiach, is a living God. When Peter, years ago, Shimon Petros was asked by the Lord, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And what did Peter say to him? Shimon Petros, he said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The God of Israel, the God of the Bible, the creator God who created the universe. As you look at this one more time, he created man in his own image. He's a living God. He created everything in his own image. And if you look this again, time, space, and matter, everything was created in his image. He's a living God. And therefore he said, you know, you have turned to God from idol to serve the living and true God. You don't serve idols anymore, but you serve the living and true God. But now notice thirdly, so we have the works of faith to turn to God from idols. The labor of love is they served the living and the true God. And then notice the patience of hope. They, as it says here in verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven. This is waiting for his Son to come back from heaven. Speaks about the fact that the Messiah is coming. The second coming is going to occur one day. And they were waiting for the Son of God, for the Messiah to come from heaven. And so they really, you could see in their life, the works of faith, the labor of love and the patience of hope is, you might say, exemplified here before us in the life of the Thessalonian. To wait for his Son from heaven. Now notice quickly, as we are concluding this first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, it says at the end of verse 10, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, Yeshua. And you remember when we studied Acts chapter 17, when Paul preached on a Shabbat day, three Shabbat day, the first Shabbat, he spoke about the suffering of the Messiah. He died. Here it is. Secondly, the Messiah must rise. Here he is again. He speaks about him as he rose. And on the third Shabbat day, he says that his name, this Yeshua, this Jesus, is the one that I speak about. He is the Messiah. Here's the name Yeshua. Again, he died, he rose, and it is Yeshua, the Messiah. And he concludes here in this beautiful chapter at the end in verse 10. He says in verse 10 at the end, he said, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You see, brothers and sisters, this wrath to come in verse 10 does not speak about hell. The unbeliever will go to hell, but it's speaking specifically of the coming of the Lord in judgment at the tribulation period. There is a wrath that is coming upon this world that rejected God. Soon it's going to come, and God, who is a righteous judge, will judge this world in righteousness. It speaks about the day of judgment. It speaks about the tribulation period. It speaks about the time where God is going to come in righteousness, and he is going to pour out his wrath upon this world that rejected Yeshua the Messiah. And he delivered us. Not only from hell, of course he delivered us from hell. But in the context here of the second coming of the Messiah, it's not only hell he's speaking about, of the fact that there is a tribulation time that is coming. We call it in Hebrew, Tzarat Yaakov, Jeremiah chapter 30 and verses 5, 6 and 7. Jacob's trouble. If you read in your leisure in Isaiah chapter 2 verses 12 to 21, and you will see the wrath of God will be falling upon this universe that rejected him. And the Thessalonians who became believers in Yeshua the Messiah, they were delivered, like you and I, from the day of the tribulation period, the wrath that will come. I'm going to close with 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9. Look at this. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus the Messiah. God has not appointed the believers in Yeshua, the Messiah, unto wrath, unto judgment that is going to come. But he appointed us to obtain salvation by the person of our Lord, Yeshua, the Messiah. And that teaches us, and again, it's a matter of theology because many people have different views. As far as my understanding, it teaches us that the believers of the church age will be taken out of here before the wrath that is going to fall upon these nations in this world during the tribulation period. And after the tribulation, he will ultimately restore Israel and bring his kingdom into this world. So, brothers and sisters, just to conclude, the Thessalonians were a desirable group of believers. They had a desirable condition in their local assembly. They had, as we read, the works of faith, the labor of love, the patience of hope practiced in their lives. And they were an example to many, many local churches all throughout Asia Minor. And they surely are an example to you and I as well. May the Lord bless His word and encourage us to continue on.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.